Saturday, June 3rd, there will be the monthly Racies and Sierra meetings. If you are attending the Racies meeting at 8 a.m., you are asked to bring your county emergency management badge. Racies meetings are now only open to HCEM official volunteers because some of the information discussed may be confidential and not available to the public. At 10 a.m. it switches over, this is also on June 3rd, it switches over to the Sierra Club meeting. And this meeting will be a presentation by meteorologist J.T. Cooper from the Indiana Storm Chasers Convention. And he will be talking about the role of ham operators during storm ops. On June 17th, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., there will be a ham radio technician class. I'm actually not sure. It says Naptown NAG is hosting this class, but I'm not sure where it's being held. Does anybody know where that class is being held? N9DAM, and congratulations on your new vanity call. I appreciate that. And I think that wraps up all the events you need to know about right now, so let's move on. Again, this is W9ST. I am net control for the All Things Sierra Net. We are now going to move into, well, before I go on, were there any other announcements for the Sierra Club that I did not cover? This is W9ST Net Control for the All Things Sierra Net, beginning check-ins. Please respond with your call name. Actually, say your name first, then your call sign phonetically. Location, and if you have a question or comment about tonight's topic. I will now take check-ins from suffixes Alpha through Lima.
Go. Kilo 9 Julia Bravo Mike in Knowlesville on a handheld, and I have no traffic.
Whiskey Delta 9, Delta Whiskey Tango, I'm in Marion County, and I've got no traffic.
Mike, Kilo Delta 9 Bravo Kilo Uniform, Noblesville.
Andy, Whiskey 9, Charlie, Yankee Uniform, Fishers, no traffic.
Alright, let's hold up there. I have K9JBM, WD9DWT, KD9BKU, and W9CYU. The other is Alpha through Lima.
Whiskey 9, Lima Mike Romeo.
November, Dwight, November 9, Delta Echo Kilo.
Alright, I have N9, Delta Alpha Mike, W9 LMR, hello Larry, and N9 DEK. Any others?
Whiskey 9 Charlie Zulua Chris.
That's W9 CZK. Last call for Alpha through Lima check-ins. on. Now taking check-ins from Mike through Romeo. Suffix is Mike through Romeo. And if you're new to all this, the suffix is the first letter after the number in your call sign.
Yeah, Andrew. November 9, Quebec, Mike Lima, Noblesville area, with no traffic.
N9QMO, N9QML. Hello, Andrew. Any other Mike through Romeo? Let's take check-ins now from suffixes Sierra through Zulu.
KG9, Tango Lima.
Let's hang on there. I had a couple doubles. All I got was Lester, TCL, can KD9, TCL. The other people who called in, come back again.
Alpha Charlie 9, X-ray Kilo, Alex Noblesville.
Jean Marie, Kilo Delta 9, Uniform Golf Bravo, based in Noblesville, no traffic.
Matthew, KD9, WFK, base, no traffic.
Mark, Kilo, Delta 9, Uniform, Yankee, Charlie. Fishers, no traffic.
All right, I have AD9XK, Alex. KD9, UGB. KD9 WFK Matt and KD9 UYC.
Kilo Delta 9, Victor India Sierra, Noblesville.
KD9 WSO, Noblesville.
This is Mike, W9, MSK, and Cicero, no traffic.
This is KC9, AAP, David, Westfield, no traffic, checking in for Gary.
I have KD9, Victor, India, Charlie. KD9, Whiskey Foxtrot Oscar, W9, Mike Sierra Kilo, and KC9, AAP. Any other check-ins, Sierra through Zulu?
Sorry, mine was KD9, Whiskey Sierra Oscar, Chris, Noblesville.
Thank you for the correction, Chris. Kilo Delta 9, Whiskey Sierra Oscar. Any other check-ins? Any suffixes? Any other check-ins? Taking all check-ins now.
Monica, November 9, Mike Romeo, Papa Fishers.
MRP. Thanks, Monica. Last call for any check-ins. All right, thank you for all your check-ins. We'll now move over to the discussion topic. The topic for tonight is, when you set up your home station, why did you do what you did, and would you do it again? Dwight, did you want to lead this, or did you want me to?
Actually, I think Jim Marie is going to start it off, N9 to EK.
Hey, this is W9STNet Control for the All Things SierraNet. Go ahead, Jean Marie.
Okay, a little bit of a surprise there, but that's okay. So we thought we might want to get everybody talking tonight about what they did when they set up their shack, what they thought they might want to do differently with lessons learned, and what is the what does the flowchart look like when you're making those decisions? What information is really needed for a radio shack when you set it up? That's a very difficult question to answer, but we're going to challenge it tonight. People in the ham radio community do have a reputation for knowing their own stuff, maybe not everyone else's, but their own, and ham radio enthusiasts are only considered amateur because they use non-commercial radio frequencies, but our knowledge can cover vast amounts of topics. Much of what you decide to purchase will depend on your interests and your license class and what you hope to do for the future. So we're hoping some of you have had those thoughts and considerations as you're building your shacks and want to talk about that tonight. One of the things to think about, I know that I started to think about after the fact, was how much space did I actually have for what I wanted to do. Picked out a corner, I set up the desk, and I started putting my equipment together and said, it would have been nice to have just a little bit more elbow room. So I'm wondering if anyone out there wants to comment on what they went through when they set up their space at home, office, or otherwise. Back to Net Control to get some people talking.
All right, thank you. I will just jump in quick, and I'm still not totally decided because I could either do it, set it my shack up in the basement or on my second floor in my home office. Right now things are in my home office, but with the need for grounding and so forth, running your shack on the second floor can be a little bit of a challenge sometimes. So that's the other thing to think about is which room first before you then decide your room. So who else would like to put some comments out there?
N9DEK.
DEK, go ahead.
That's a really good observation. My home when I got my first license was two stories, and I was a technician, and I was only thinking in terms of VHF, UHF, and putting an antenna in the attic and having, you know, a short cable run down to the second story. My antenna was actually right above my shack, and not contemplating HF at all. If I was going to advance and get my HF license, I would have probably moved my shack to the basement where I could get grounding cables and antenna cables outside the window and at ground level and not be an eyesore. My first location was at the front of my home on a cul-de-sac, so having wires running out that window, it would not have been a good idea. And just second story grounding, from what I've heard, is pretty much a nightmare, especially on an established home where you can't get things through the insulation. And 9DEK, back to Net Control.
Net Control, this is KD9UGB.
UGB, go ahead.
I have a couple of follow-up questions to some of those comments, which is, for me, I'm in my home office space, which is large enough. I had no problem grounding. I did have to drill a hole through my wall to the outside, which caused a few beads of sweat to pop up, but it's all worked out. The other thing that I considered, though, and I wonder how many folks do think about it, is temperature. And I looked around this space I have, and I would not have a problem with temperature if I was running a lot of things and equipment got warmer. And I'm wondering how many people think about that and if it really is an issue for anyone.
N9DAM. N9DAM, go ahead.
So ironically, my shack is in the coolest room of my house, or hottest room in the summer. my house doesn't know how to play nicely with itself. But in the winter, it's really nice to get my HF radio going and my UHF because it heats the room for us instead of having to try to force extra heat into this room. So, and with my stuff, the way it's configured, all the heat gets dumped out the back, so I don't actually notice it. It just passively heats my room, which is pretty kind of, which is actually really kind of nice. And 90 AM, back to net.
Is there anybody running a full gallon amplifier that has heat issues? I guess we're all still barefooting it. All right, this is W9ST Net Control for the All Things Sierra Net. Is there anybody else who would like to talk about choosing the room or how you decided how to allocate your space?
W9CZK.
I'm sorry, was that Chris? I was just talking over somebody.
That is correct, Chris, W9CZK.
I think we doubled on the entire whatever you said. Go ahead, CZK.
Yeah, I have a lot of information and things to share with pimping out shacks, because I guess this is the one thing that I just really love. I like organization, and, with my new house build that I had a couple years back, I made sure to put in some blue Smurf tube, that's flexible conduit, going from my basement all the way up to my attic. So if anyone ever has the opportunity that they're tearing into some studs or they're able to do that, that would be the number one thing I could ever suggest. Because that way, if you ever want to change your antenna run or put up different coax or put up another antenna, life is easy. But like I said, I have a personal joy of building shacks and making things fit and look nice. So for any of you who know...
Thanks, Chris. That's definitely a good idea. Having some sort of large conduit in the wall like that will certainly make future runs of cables a lot easier to pull. Any other comments before we move to the next part?
N9 QML, I'll give it a go.
QML, you're up.
Okay, thank you very much. Yeah, I got my license in 92, and that was the same year we were building our home out here in rural Hamilton County. So it gave me the opportunity to design at the get-go the radio room, and I took advantage of that. I'm down, we have a lower level walkout, so it's kind of a sort of like a basement. It's totally finished, but I've got my radio room. I designed it to be behind one of the chimney foundations and near the utility room and up against the solid concrete poured wall to the south west. Nevertheless, I had an opportunity to do that as the blueprints were drawn. Some things encroached on my space, and my radio room ended up being a little smaller than I intended. But those things happen. I still have it. But I laid conduit in, much like the other gentleman mentioned, Chris, only not up to the attic, but out near the utility entrance. So I had conduit put in. I put that in. So I've got several runs of that for coax. And tried to forward think. I had the circuits are all on its own circuit breaker for the room, and I'm running solid state, so it doesn't get hot even in the summer. But it's an opportunity if you're building, then take advantage of that. And if not, then sounds like that video series Chris is going to have is going to be really good. Much more to talk about, but that's it for now. N9QML, back to net.
Thank you, Andrew. I think, especially after seeing your Go Kit, I think there's a lot of people listening who are jealous of your dedicated radio room. That sounds like a great setup. Anyone else want to share?
N9DEK.
The mic is yours, Dwight.
Yeah, I just want to add to what Andrew said. I got in on the second half of his antenna party and routing the cables, and even with the conduit, he had some challenging curves they had to get around. It took us a little while, but if you want to see a really thought out, well thought out shack and somebody with good ideas, Andrew's the guy because he's got a lot of experience and he had everything set up for grounding and routing cables and knew where all his support points were going to be for his antenna and all we didn't have to really think through any of that. He just we just had to follow his instructions. So that would be a good shack to look at if he'll let you visit it. N9DEK, back to Ned.
Thanks, Dwight. That is a good point. I've one of the things I've heard is if you're laying conduit like that, also run a few ropes through so you can pull your coax or cables or what have you later on instead of having to use fish tape or other ways to get it where it might make it hard to make the bends and so forth. Any other comments?
Yeah, WD9DWT.
DWT, go ahead.
Thank you, Net Control. Yeah, my name is Dave. I'm in Marion County. So I've been on the air now on with my nice HF rig. I got FT991, so it's an all-band thing. Goes VHF, UHF, which is what I'm now using. Been using it for about 6 months in this configuration, and I'm happy with it. But I don't really have a radio room. It's just a radio sitting next to my office computer. I've got a home office, like the lady was sharing before. And I'm in a condominium, so I've got a constraint of being of where I'm living at. So those are two questions I would ask myself if I was going to set up a radio room. What are my desirables and what are my constraints? Well, the desirable was to have an all-band radio. My constraint was living where I live. I've got a condo, so I got close by neighbors, got an HOA, and so 100 watts is about all I want to do anyway because of that situation. So what I decided to do is put dipoles up in the attic, and I've got a nice little antenna garden up there right now. Every single dipole, of course, they're all, of course, balanced antennas. They are feeding each of them into a ballon, a one-to-one ballon. And then I've got separate cables running down the wall to my desk area here. So they're short runs of cable. The location of where I'm sitting here is not too far away from the antenna. So, and I did the calculation for radiation, and I'm well below the limit of being sensitive to exposure. My SWR is about 2-to-1 or better on all the bands and all the parts of the bands that I'm interested in running, so that's a good thing. I haven't had an issue with RF in the shack, so and I've tried grounding. It doesn't seem to matter whether I ground the radio or not to the earth ground situation. The drawback has been with power line noise. Seems like there's just a you know, being near the electrical wiring up there in the attic, you're picking up a lot of power line noise, and so I'm getting like maybe S on 40 meters, it's about an S3. On several other bands, it's about an S5 to an S9. S9 is 80 meters. I can't use 80. Of course, you can't even get an antenna long enough to fit the root in the attic for 80 anyway. So, but I tried with a ham stick and whatnot. Anyway, that's the situation I'm in, and this seems to be working well. WD9DWT, back to Net Control.
Thanks, Dave, for those comments. One thing I've heard, but I haven't tried yet, is that putting a loop in your attic can reduce the noise versus using an NFED or a dipole. But I've only heard and read that. I haven't tried it yet. Does anybody have any comments or suggestions for Dave on reducing his noise level up in the attic antennas?
NDAM.
Go ahead, Dallas.
So anyone who knows I've got solar panels on my roof, so I have crazy noise coming through my walls in my house. One thing that I've done, and this may seem crazy, but it seems to have helped my noise level, I've started putting ferrite chokes on my power lines. The wall, the Romex go into the wall, and even from my solar panels, and it seemed to dramatically reduce the noise that my radio gets. So while that's not a solution, it's a step, maybe, in the right direction. I mean, toroids would be probably better, but I didn't feel like unwinding wire and trying to disconnect it to do that. So I did that to help reduce the noise, because it does mellow it out a little bit. But that's the only thing I could think of that might help. And then DAM, back to that.
Could you clarify, Dallas, are you putting those at the solar panels where they're where that equipment is entering the house, or are you putting the ferrites on all of your ham equipment?
So a little of both. So of course I have them on my ham equipment right where it meets the wall, but I found the inverter for my solar panel putting out just stupid noise, and to reduce that, I put ferrite chokes on the 240-volt lines coming into the house from the inverter to my box, and it seemed to dramatically reduce the noise in my house. I need to get some more so I can go even further, but that seemed to help some. It still has not drowned it out completely. I still fight about an S3 noise level, but considering where I was, probably close to an S6 or S7 on some frequencies, I'd say that's a pretty big success.
N9DEK with a comment, question rather.
Comment on that.
N9DEK with a question.
Go with your question.
You brought up a point about noise level. I've got a S9 level on 40 meters, and I've, you know, unplugged my breaker box, and noise level stayed the same. I went around the neighborhood looking for static, and everything that I've read tells me that putting anything on my lines is really not going to help, since I haven't identified anything. But has anybody got any experience with just general noise, putting ferrites and stuff? Because I decided that would be a waste of money, based on what I was reading, but, you know, then I hear people making comments that go against those grains, so I'd like to throw that out there. N9DEK, back to net.
Any replies?
N9DAM.
Was there somebody else besides N9DAM there? Okay, my radio just made a weird squeak thing, so go ahead, Dallas.
Yeah, I got the same squeak thing as well. I was thinking the same thing, that's why I stay quiet. What I've noticed, Dwight, when it comes to the noise with ferrites, it typically comes from devices that invert power. Because mine is a 6,000-watt inverter from DC to AC. Creates a bunch of noise. I've noticed that putting it on where my power transformers are, especially going into, you know, anytime I'm changing phases of power, I've noticed that seems to help some. Whether it's 100% or not, I don't know. I've had to put ferrites on, like, all my stuff for my computer because it was getting hit by RF and it wasn't happy. So I can only assume that the other way is that if it's radiating to my computer and some of my electronics there, that it's probably backfeeding the other way too. So I just went on Amazon, bought some cheap ferrites. I mean, I didn't buy the high-end ones to start testing with. And now that I know that it seems to be working for me, I'll probably go buy some nicer ones. But that's my thoughts. N90AM.
Anybody else with suggestions for Dwight?
KC9
Whiskey 9 AAP with a comment.
Go ahead, David.
So there's a couple options on 40 meters. 40 meters can actually be inherently noisy sometimes. It's kind of what that magic band that switches back and forth between different states. So like right now I'm reading an S6 noise floor, but sometimes it's an S3. And one of the
have a coax or counterpoise attached, the RF choke stops that and basically enforces my ground rod as the counterpoise, so it keeps some of that noise out, and it works very well.
Thanks for that clarification. Dwight, did you have any other follow-up?
This has been a nemesis ever since I've opened up my shack. Is there any truth to the fact that switching power supplies, I mean, I've tried battery and it doesn't change the level, but I've seen some people comment that a switching power supply causes noise on 40 meter. Is there any truth to that in 9DEK?
Caught a cheap cigarette lighter style power supply for my VHF-UHF radio because it was just a little, it's only running 20 watts. And it works great, except I noticed it kicks out RF noise in 10 meters. So I have to turn that power supply off if I'm working 10 meters. So they definitely do. What I've read, from what I understand, switching power supplies can be good for radios if they have enough filtering in them. But when manufacturers are trying to reduce costs, the extra filtering gets removed and kicked out until they're just barely passing the FCC noise requirements, but still splattering everywhere. And so that's where the other thing too is I have a TV in the other room behind me that kicks out RF or EMF interference. And so you can also check, TVs or other things that have power supplies maybe generating it. Does anybody else want to comment on that?
KC9 AAP with a comment.
Go ahead, AAP. And by the way, the MFJ site labels that as a 1-to-1 current balun. So I'm sure you could find a 1-to-1 current balun that's doing the same thing that David's RF isolator is doing from other manufacturers as well. Go ahead, David.
Yes, it is a 1-to-1 current balun, but it's actually what it is a common mode choke on the ground wire only. So it basically is running a lot of RF loops on the ground wire to reduce common mode current. So that's what that does. But going back to the switching power supplies, I actually use a Samlex Power switching power supply. Switching power supplies these days have gotten very, very good, and they're very efficient. Linear power supplies are not. They're only in the 30% range or so, whereas the switching power supply is in the 90%. So if you really like a space heater while you're operating, go ahead and get that linear power supply. But if you're wanting a switching power supply, it's more compact. The RF is pretty low, but the trick, and this is very important, is you don't want to buy a cheap one. You need to spend the money on, you know, a decent one. Samlex is a very good brand. They do a good job. There's several others, but don't buy like a $40 switching power supply from Amazon. You may even notice on a VHF-UHF rig, you may not notice any RFI because a lot of those S meters on those rigs are actually looking at the PLL lock, so they're not giving you a true sense of what the RFI or noise floor is in the environment. So you do have to keep an eye on that, but definitely recommend the Samlex Power.
B9DWT with a comment.
Go ahead, Dave.
Thank you. So, switching power supplies. If you want to know if you're getting noise from a switching power supply and you have a band scope, there's a really neat way to do that. Switching power supplies are nothing more than high power switches that are switching on and off at a very fast rate. Typically it's 10 to 20 kilohertz, depending on whether it's a standalone or if it's in a TV set or something. But if you know what the frequency is, if you can just sort of, if you see on your band scope a series of noise, I call them humps of noise, spaced at about 10 to 20 kilohertz apart, and they seem to kind of float gently. They don't seem to be solid on one frequency. They change, they move around, they go up, they go down. That is indicative of a switch mode power supply, because you're getting harmonics of that 10 to 20 kilohertz switching action that's taking place. Anyway, that's just a bit of advice. WD9DWT, back to net control.
Thank you, Dave. That's a great tip. It also makes me think if you could hook up one of the little SDR sticks to a directional antenna, that may help you identify noise in your neighborhood if you're trying to hunt for your noise in the neighborhood. Anybody else with a comment? DM, you're up. I could also see electric car chargers, especially if they're an older model, perhaps, having some filtering problems. So if somebody's got an electric car in your neighborhood, that might be another possible source of noise. This is W9ST for the All Things SierraNet. Anybody else have a comment about your shack, why you made decisions, or if you would do something different next time around, or if you have advice for people just setting up their shack right now? KD9 UGB, were there other things you wanted to discuss tonight?
Thank you, Net Control. There are quite a few. The list goes on very long. We've covered a number of things on our list, though. But I think I'll throw one more thing out there. There was a discussion to be had about if many of us have multiple antennas, and some of them are our favorites and some of them not so favorite, and some of them we work through and some of them we wish we didn't have. So if you had to think about your antenna farm and you wanted to choose one to let go, which one would it be and why?
This is KC9AAP. I would have to say it would be the dummy load.
Who is that? Go ahead.
If I had to get rid of an antenna in my antenna farm, it would be the dummy load.
That's a good answer. Anybody else got one? Go ahead. Who else has a less than stellar antenna that they should get rid of or already did?
N9DEK.
Go ahead, Dwight.
My experience is one Elmer is great and two Elmers is better than one, like everything else. I have had a love-hate relationship with my Eagle One Vertical. It came on an SO239 connector, and we made a coax piglet to connect to the onion, and I was getting excellent performance on 40 meters, but nothing else. And I got a second opinion, and then they said the coax piglet was the jumper was the problem, and just needed to connect the wires directly to the onion. And boy, that antenna came to life. I mean, I get all bands now, just like I'm supposed to. And it actually made the 40 meter less efficient, but it's supposed to be an inefficient antenna. So I'd say before you throw away an antenna, that especially one that's getting good reviews for people. Get a second opinion, or take another look at it, or, you know, because I was reading reviews about that antenna. People were getting great performance, and there was one or two that were not, but they were getting great performance, and I was doing the same thing where they were and couldn't figure out why, so I was ready to scrap it until I got it fixed, and love it now because it's great for DX. I'm making 4,000-mile contacts in 9DEK.
That brings something else to mind. You can always try to shorten or lengthen your coax just a little bit, because sometimes if your coax happens to be exactly a quarter wavelength or one of those harmonic wavelengths, it might be canceling the signal in the length you have. So you can always throw a little coax jumper in there to lengthen it a little bit and see. That might be your problem sometimes, depending on what band you're running on. This is W9ST. Any other comments? For not great antennas.
LMR.
Go ahead, Larry.
I'd like to ask CEK how long it took them to accumulate 4,000 QSOs.
N9DEK, either misspoke or didn't pronounce that. It was 4,000 miles that I've made contacts from distance-wise in 9DEK.
Thanks for the correction / my misunderstanding, but LMR out.
I'll say my antenna. I tried to do a zip wire 20 meter was it 20 meter? It might have been, I don't know if it was a dipole. I think I tried to do an off-center dipole inside my office around the ceiling because I had seen a picture in an ARRL article or antenna book about it. And it was a miserable failure, so I ripped that down pretty quick.
N9DEK with another comment.
Go ahead.
I want to follow Gary's comment about coax length up with a conversation I had with my Elmer this week. I've made some cables, so I know how to make, you know, attach connectors. And I bought a 100-foot cable, and I've been trying to decide what size, you know, length I want to cut that to. I've bought it pre-made, but I've got connectors. And he advised me to leave it the way it is. He said coax length is critical for antennas. He said for 160 meters, you need 125 feet of coax minimum. And he's taught me about flaking as far as, you know, crisscrossing or figurating your excess coax as opposed to rolling it up, which can cause it to cut off the transflow of energy. I'd never heard the term flaking before, but he advised me, he said, don't dare shorten that 100-foot coax, so I'm going to take his advice on that. N9DEK.
What does he mean by flaking?
coaxial cable tends to come, be coiled up, and it naturally goes into a circle, which can inhibit the flow of your signal. So he says to crisscross it back and forth in a figure eight, much like you'll see large electrical cables. They don't roll it up, they crisscross it back and forth, so I don't know what the technical term is, but it cancels out the signal that's being, you know, you're going 180 both directions, so it's facilitating the flow of energy, I guess, is the best way to say it, in 9DEK.
Yeah, that makes sense. This is W9ST. Jean-Marie, do you want to move, any other questions you want to hit?
Well, thanks, Net Control. I guess there's one more. We've been running for quite a while, so I'll put one more out there in case people still have the energy to talk. We had a topic on here that we thought we might want to cover with everyone that has a radio in their vehicle. The considerations for a home shack or a mobile unit, an HT, or what you put in your vehicle are going to be very different. So what is the thought process on putting something into your vehicle? What's the decision tree that you go through when you thought about putting something into your vehicle?
I'll open that question up to the floor. Go ahead. Other comments on mobile rigs? All right, well, I'll jump in. My biggest restriction, I guess, was I needed something small because the way my car was designed, there wasn't a lot of space for like a big Yaesu or something like that. So I started looking at the sizes, and the radio I ended up with is it's either a Radiodity or an Anytone, depending on they're co-branded. But it's literally the size of a 3x5 card and an inch and a half tall. And so it's small enough that you could pretty much fit it almost in any car, I would think, somewhere. That's something to keep in mind too, is look at the specs, try and measure, maybe even if you have some foam sitting around, you could kind of cut a mock-up to see if the radio would fit where you want to put it. And the other thing I'll mention is you can get right angle PL259 connectors. Because in my case, I needed to do that to fit it where I wanted to. A straight out cable wasn't going to do the trick. So you might also look at a right angle cable if you're working in a tight space.
KD9DEK with a comment.
Go ahead.
You know, when I first got my license, I was actually working out of town, so, and I was doing events like the Hilly 100, where it made sense to have a mobile. But once I, you know, and I would eventually move to Cincinnati if it worked out, but once I wasn't traveling, and if I was just going to do events, I could put it in the car temporarily and use a mag mount, and I just don't see, personally, I don't see enough activity on the repeaters to warrant having it in the car. I mean, a lot of people do like that, but I would, from my advice, I wouldn't discourage somebody from putting it in their car, but I'm not a fan anyway. just don't use it in N9DEK.
One thing I'll say about that is you don't need to have a mobile radio in your car. If you can always put a mobile antenna on your car and just have a pigtail and attach it to your handheld radio inside the car. That's one other way that you can, especially if you have a spouse who doesn't want you to do much to the car, you know. You can always, if you're going out for an MCOM event or something where you need the radio, throw that mag mount on the roof, through the back window, and connect it up to your HT, and that's another way to go mobile. Any other comments? Go ahead. Great comment, and that is one feature that my tiny little radio is missing. It does not do crossband repeat. All right, I think we should probably wrap this up. It's getting late here. We are past the 9 o'clock hour. Why don't we move on? This is W9ST net control for the All Things Sierra Net. I'm going to finish our discussion here, and let's move on to cell swap want. Does anybody have a cell swap want? All right, one other thing I forgot to mention during the announcements. The ARRL this weekend is having Rookie Roundup. This is the SSB Rookie Roundup. It's a contest that is focused on all new hams who have been licensed 3 years or less. And the idea is to get them on there, get them doing, talking with each other in a little bit of a lesser pressure environment than some contests can be. And all the old-time hams, they are only supposed to be contacting rookies. If you've been licensed for more than 3 years, you should be reaching out to those CQing for this contest that are less than 3 years. You can find out more information about that on the ARRL website. Go to arrl.org/contest-calendar. And you'll find a link there somewhere for Rookie Roundup, and you can find out what the rules and what the time is this weekend.
Net Control, KD9UGV.
Check in halfway through the discussion period, but are there any who want to check in late at this time?
W9KD.
T-Alpha 4, Echo Zulu, Foxtrot.
Kilo Delta 9, Hotel Papa November.
Kilo Delta 9, Hotel Yankee Golf.
Alright, I have W9KD, KA4EZF, Ron, KD9JP, APN, did I have that right? Hotel Papa November? No, I don't think I wrote that right. What was that call? Roger, you got it right. Kilo Delta 9, Hotel Papa November. All right, excellent. My brain and my hand is working correct then. And last one, KD9HYG. Hello, Joe. Check-ins. So this is W9ST, Whiskey 9 Sierra Tango, thanking you for your participation in tonight's net. I think we had a pretty good discussion. Hopefully you learned something or helped somebody else learn something tonight. The next net will be next Thursday. I don't have the date offhand, but it's going to be next Thursday at 8 p.m. And I also did not look up the topic. Do we have a topic for next week? All right, Elmer Knight. If there's a topic you would like to discuss on future nets, please email kd9tjh@gmail.com. Is that still going to be your email address for now? Sounds good. All right, if you're looking for something to discuss, send Dallas some ideas. All right, this is W9ST closing the net at 2009. Thanks for participating, 73, and hope you have a great week. Correction, that was 2109.